it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight powered by a Celsius here. I think that's one of the official drinks of Major League Soccer. Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on the heels of Joel and Jeremy. By the way, producer Brian McDonald, Jeremy dropping the word gaffer.
Yeah, I know. That made a big hit with you. I let him know that you really perked up when he used the word gaffer.
I smiled when I heard that.
He said he uses it all the time. I guess I haven't noticed it before.
In England, instead of saying coach or manager, you can use insert the word gaffer. I'm not sure that's one that you use in the NFL much, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever referred to D'Amico Ryans as the Texans gaffer.
The gaffer.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll start either, but
I can't wait to hear the first person in Houston sports media to call D'Amico Ryans the gaffer.
Don't hold your breath.
All right, 713-780-3776. By the way, the phone lines are open the first two segments. Would love to hear from the soccer fan out there. The Dynamo fan base has been very quiet. I would love to hear from any of you or the podcasters. Come on tonight with takes here around the Dynamo, how you're feeling about the upcoming season. Again, they started off with FC Dallas in Game 2. We get our payback. We get Lionel Messi in Inter Miami here. Do not kick Messi up until he gets to Houston, please. We need to make sure he gets on the field at Shell Energy Stadium. Streaming, we mentioned ESPN975.com. So the first two segments wide open. Then I'm going to take you in to Ben Olson, and we'll get Ben's thoughts on all things Dynamo. I do understand why Dynamo fans, the little bit that I'm hearing out there, when they see Osman Bukhari, Mirto Azuni, and Brandon Vasquez up in Austin, Texas, $30 million for those three in transfer fees, and some of the activity going in the league, I can see how people, you know, they want to see something happen. They want to see a big signing. They haven't had one yet. They've got until April 1st. Apparently, they got some that they're looking at trying to get over the finish line. So we'll talk with Ben Olson about that here tonight. We'll also talk about how far off Nelson Quiñones and Lawrence Analia is, the two wingers, Ezequiel Ponce, how they're going to get more chances from him and how to get the best out of him. A big goal-scoring signing last year. Had a goal every two games for the Dynamo. But for me, did not get enough looks at goal, and I don't think for the Dynamo either, by the way, because their expected goals without penalty kicks, I think they were 21 out of 29 in the league. So it's an obvious question going into the season. Where are you going to get goals from? It's a simple question, too. Couple of topics and questions tonight we put out, or I put out on social media, at Glenn Davis Sock. Leagues Cup or Open Cup? There are some teams that are going to play in both, like the Dynamo. Some are going to play only in one tournament or the other, like Austin's only going to play in the Open Cup. I asked for your reaction. Which tournament do you like better? 713-780-3776. And by the way, some people are just loyal to the Open Cup history here in the United States. Others like the competition from Mexican League clubs that comes with the League Cup. So I find those games intriguing, and I also love the history of the Open Cup, and I've played in the Open Cup. So they're both interesting in their own way, but one is being financed and invested in more heavily, and I think you know which one that is. Let's get you into the fact that we are 502 days until the first World Cup match here in Houston. Yesterday's press conference, I'm going to take you into what I saw and heard in that press conference. The mayor and others spoke. Chris Canetti spoke as well, the head of the World Cup committee. Interesting day. There was one thing, though, like a pink elephant missing. And I'm going to tell you what that is. And it's something that was a missed opportunity, in my opinion. U.S. men's national team players are tearing it up in Europe this weekend. Christian Pulisic, Yunus Musa for Milan, Ricardo Pepi for PSV got the game winner. Apparently, he may start against Liverpool in the Champions League tomorrow. And then Tyler Adams. This is really good news for the U.S. men's national team, is that Tyler Adams is getting 90-minute games now. Adds to that midfield. He's definitely a starter. Had two assists for Bournemouth in a stunning 5-0 victory over Nottingham Forest, which, by the way, we had Sarah Clapson on, who covers Nottingham Forest for the Nottingham newspaper in England. And, you know, we just had her on talking about how great they were, and they just got smoked 5-0. So pretty amazing. So let's start it off tonight with a couple of matches that we had focus on. Let's start with Barcelona in La Liga, Brian. A 7-1 victory over Valencia. Frankie de Jong would get things started here with a swivel and a hit inside the penalty area.
Lamine Yamal getting on the ball, trying to chip it in, and what a chance early on. Frankie de Jong only too happy to snap it up.
Started by Lamine Yamal, by the way. You heard that from Derek Ray, one of my friends and contemporaries who I've called World Cups with. Ferran Torres would get a second. Or make that Rafinha would get the second. Rafinha, sorry.
Disguised that nicely. De Jong. Palde in position. And there's the goal from Ferran Torres. Well, a quiet celebration, considering it is against his past.
Yeah, by the way, I was right the first time. Ferran Torres. But Rafinha scored goals. Fermin Lopez had a pair. Lewandowski had one. Torreira had one. 7-1. It is Barcelona over Valencia. Just keeping an eye on Jeff Lunau's Blue Crow Sports Leganés. They draw 0-0 with Atleti Club. But scoring goals for them is the problem. Spain, we go with Real Madrid getting a 3-0 victory at Real Valladolid. Kylian Mbappe getting a hat-trick in that one. Manchester City 3-1 over Chelsea. Vardiol, Holland, and Foden. Manchester United 1-0 over Fulham. Lisandro Martinez, Anthony Robinson playing there for Fulham and captaining the team. And then you had Liverpool 4-1 over Ipswich. A pair for Cody Gakpo, but Mo Salah getting the game winner in that one for Liverpool.
Gakpo. Salah. Yes! It's another Mohamed Salah goal. Somehow he finds a way to get that ball into the net. Not sure how, but he does it.
Liverpool on top of the Champions League. Liverpool on top of the Premier League. They are the best team in Europe right now. It's under a new manager, Arne Slot. And, of course, they will play PSV this week, but they are in prime position here for the next round of the Champions League. And, by the way, the Houston LFC, that's the supporters group, is out at our great sponsor, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. And then, of course, you got their other location on Dinkins in West University. That's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Great whiskey, beer offerings over there, and great English pub food. Bournemouth 5-0 over Nottingham Forest. Ouattara had a hat-trick in that. Justin Kluivert, the son of Patrick Kluivert, had a hat-trick last week against Newcastle. He had one. And then Tyler Adams, really, for U.S. men's national team fans, a big, big story in that one. He goes the full 90 with two assists. Bournemouth is 11-7-5 on 40 points. Nottingham Forest 13-5-5 on 44. But, you know, there's eight or nine teams that are in contention for the top four Champions League spots, including Man City. So as much as it's been a nightmare for Man City, I think they're currently fourth or fifth, and they got a 3-1 victory over Chelsea. Let's go to Milan, Christian Pulisic. By the way, there's a Netflix special on Christian Pulisic, and you know, these are kind of in vogue now. When you're an athlete, you put out your story. It's generally from your viewpoint, but it's still something that's really interesting to watch. Absolutely love Captain America. I think the kid is wonderful with the press. I love the way he handles himself, and I think he's got a next level with the national team with this manager in in Mauricio Pochettino because he is now playing central. It's an area where he can make differing types of runs out of there. I hope he remains in a central role for the U.S. national team, Pochettino. I think it gets him more involved in the game there. Makes him, in a lot of ways, in and around the game more, and has to become more of a leader. You know, you're in the central area of the field. You got to look right, left, forward, behind you. When you're hugged against the touchline and cutting in, it's a totally different thing. So I think the fact that he's in the middle of the field, the fact that his scope of vision is open, the fact that his starting point for making runs is from a different area of the field, I think this could benefit the national team. And I really, really like the fact Mauricio Pochettino has played him there. I hope he remains there. The U.S. have got to protect him because he's going to get kicked all the time because he is their playmaker. He is their number one. But, yeah, I hope he stays there because, for me, I just see the fact that his game can even expand and be in more influential in games from that position in the future for the U.S. So here he is from the penalty spot for Milan. They got a 3-2 comeback victory over Parma, and this was a big comeback.
Scored his previous penalty, Christian Pulisic, up against Suzuki to make amends. Pulisic! Too powerful for Suzuki. Milan are level.
Great penalty. Come on, have a little more emotion, commentator. Come on, this is Christian Pulisic of the U.S. Men's National
Team. Very matter-of-fact.
Yeah, come on.
And he scores.
Might have been.
It's level.
This is the thing, having called a lot of games in studios. Now, if that guy wasn't live at that game.
Oh, okay.
You have to get yourself into a mindset that almost you're lying to yourself that you're actually at the game. So for me, I would always want the natural sound turned up. But if you watch, you'll get some commentators that the level of focus is lost because you're in a kind of sterile environment and you're not really at the game. And you guys will start talking about their golf game and silly things and lose the focus of where they are.
I think it's a little harder to ramp your voice up when you're just in a conference room. It's like when the crowd's cheering, it's easy to raise your voice level to match that intensity. But if you're just in a studio, it's hard to get yourself to a level where you're matching that normal enthusiasm and level.
That's why you got to be a pro.
Yeah.
Right? You got to – and listen, I do a lot of games off monitors. People, hey, wow, you were in Milan. No, I wasn't. I was in Los Angeles. It's kind of funny, but it is a lot of the way of the world now with the offloading of expenses, especially – maybe with soccer in our country at the differing levels that, you save a lot of money not traveling people, not putting them in hotels. It's a pretty easy thing taking a feed. All right, we move on from that. So the next thing I want to get to is I was down at the press conference at Energy Stadium. I think there's a couple things we just got a little more clarification on. But, it's mostly one of these things where, you got the mayor there, you got people from the city. It was a nice celebration. I think there was a lot of excitement around it. Basically, it was reminding people that 500 days to the World Cup. So you got a number of speakers up there. I thought the mayor was excellent. Chris Canetti got up there mentioning that the stadium at Energy will have to be altered to fit FIFA standards, which I think is basically cutting some seats out around the corner flags. Spoke about the grass installation. There wasn't a lot new. A lot of cameras were there. Now, that's the good thing, and this is creating awareness for the World Cup, and I think that was the big thing. It's a lot of glad-handing and all that, and that's good, too, but I think it was fine. The one big piece that was missing, though, as I watched this, was there was not an acknowledgement of the number one reason why we got the World Cup here, and that's Houston as a soccer city, one of the great soccer cities in America, and the varying levels of soccer from just people pre-play out at fields, to the youth game, to the adult game, high school soccer, the pro game, the college game. There was a big miss there because a lot of the people in the room We're not necessarily people that are passionate about soccer. And this was an opportunity to educate. And any time that the World Cup is talked about coming to Houston, we have to acknowledge the Houston soccer community. And I'm in that room and I'm looking across and out the window and I'm saying, wow, if I was given a real quick 3-4 minute synopsis of the fact that we have history back to the 60s, the pro game, I would have said to everybody in the room, take a look out that window. What do you see? You see the Astrodome. 1966, England won the World Cup. Their captain was a guy named Bobby Moore. In 1967, West Ham United played in the Astrodome against one of the biggest sporting properties, if not the biggest in the world, far bigger than the Astros, Texans, and the Rockets, with all due respect from a global perspective, and that is Real Madrid, who is supported all over the world. And the captain of England, who lifted the World Cup the year before, was playing for West Ham United. That's 1967. It's phenomenal. Then I would have said, hey, by the way, you know who else played in the Astrodome? A guy named Pelé, who scored over 1,000 goals, and he's the only man that's ever won the World Cup 3 times with Brazil, who's won it 5. He won it in 1958, 1962, and 1970. In 66 in England, they kicked the living you-know-what out of Pelé, and that's why he exited that tournament injured. And then he came back the following year with the great team with Carlos Alberto, which some call the greatest World Cup team ever. But Pelé played in there. Pelé was in Houston at Del Mar Stadium for a UNICEF game when I was playing for the Houston Dynamos to play San Jose. Now, I might not expect you to remember that, but we have to tie this in so that we remind people we're not newbies to this thing down here. The reason soccer is coming here and the World Cup is coming here is because of all the people that are involved with it, and it's a lifestyle and it's a passion. All the people that went over to Energy Stadium for all these games put on by LSE and, you know, went to these stadiums and bought tickets. I mean, we've had so many memorable big games from Copa America to Gold Cup, obviously in Energy Stadium. Well, we've had big games in Shell Energy Stadium, too, with Lionel Messi playing in there. And the Dynamo, the Dash, you know, the Dash crowds, that's a whole work in progress. But, you know, it's a group effort here, right? So, you know, I hope we can tie that in more. I'm trying to do that with this show, and I'm trying to do that with each and every day. I'm putting out a little factoid about the World Cup at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock and Soccer Matters GD. All right, we're going to take a break here. That's soapboxing there. Other than that, though, listen, I don't want it to sound like it wasn't a fun, upbeat event. It was. But you got to tie in the soccer community. You got to tie in the depth of knowledge of it, because it's a big miss if you don't. And there are people in that room that need to know about these interesting pieces of soccer history in as good a soccer city as there is in America, in my opinion. All right, we're going to take a break here. A quick word here for our friends at Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Go in there, say hello to Dimitri. They've got 3 locations. I was there yesterday. He's got a great caricature of himself. I just put it out on Twitter on the front of the olive oil they sell. But I love the caricature of him that was done by some artist. It's great, but Nico Nico's is an institution. It's Greek and American Cafe, the best in Greek food. 3 locations, new one in Woodlands, I-10 and the Beltway, and my favorite in Montrose. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Dynamo Talk next.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're bringing you back with the band The Cult. This is called Coming Down. Our friends at Cactus Music would love this. Our great friend over there, Quinn. Best in vinyl, best in CDs. Get over to Cactus Music. Like I always say on this show, it's like going into, there's so many things going on in there. You may end up in there for a couple hours because so many cool, it's used vinyl, pre-owned, new vinyl, CDs. I mean, you name it, they have it. They got memorabilia in there, great T-shirts. If you're looking for some fun T-shirts, they got them too. So it's awesome. So this is Ian Astbury and The Cult as we welcome you back. Okay, couple of things I want to get into here. We're going to talk some Dynamo here. We're going to talk some Liga MX. I do want to remind you that the Champions League on Wednesday, I did mention Ricardo Pepi. I don't know if I said he got the game winner in a 3-2 win over NEC Breda. And there are PSV's at the top of the Dutch Eredivisie, 4 points ahead of Ajax. He has been generally coming off the bench, but he still is their leading scorer. So they're saying he will start against Liverpool in the Champions League. And I'll try to get some Champions League in here too. First, I want to go to Mexico. There's games tonight in Liga MX, America, San Luis, Puebla, Mazatlan, Tigres, Tijuana. By the way, the coach of Tijuana is a former Major League Soccer in Mexico coach, Juan Carlos Osorio, and he's in a matchup with Tigres and Velko Panovic. So there you go. But the one I'm focused on here today, which is really interesting, León and Guadalajara. Now, you know, Jaime Rodriguez ultimately went to León. So he goes to León. He apparently convinced Andreas Guardado to come out of retirement at 38 years of age to play for León. And then you have Guadalajara and Chivas with, yes, from San Jose Earthquakes, Cade Cowell, the young American. You got Chicharito. And then you have Alan Pulido from Sporting Kansas City, who is now at Chivas. So there's a whole bunch of sidebars to that game. And then tomorrow night, you got Pumas and Toluca. And you got Coco Carrasquilla, who's debuted for Pumas in their last game, came on in the 58th minute. And this may be Hector Herrera's debut for Toluca after suspension that he had to fulfill in Mexico in Major League Soccer when he finished his Dynamo career being sent off against Seattle. So that's what you got going on there. A couple of Major League Soccer notes. By the way, Leagues Cup or Open Cup? What do you like better? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Leagues Cup or Open Cup? Somebody make a statement. What do you like better? Dynamo are going to be in both competitions. Number of people have weighed in on this topic. James said the Open Cup. Leagues Cup is a worthless money grab. Okay, that's what James said about the League Cup. Davey the Chin said it's always Open Cup for me. Jose Benitez, Leagues Cup is higher quality of competition, but Open Cup has the history behind it. Overall, I like the higher quality for my club, so I'll go to Leagues Cup. That means you won't go to the Open Cup? Let's see if there's any other. There were some good ones coming in here. Brad says, Open Cup 11 times out of 10. Give me the competition with history. Brian says, Open Cup for me. I won't go to or watch a League Cup match, even if my life depended on it. Dang. Tell us how you really feel, Brian. I like that. Some passion behind that. John says, usually Liga MX games are on 2-to-any for those who are trying to find that game tomorrow night between Hector Herrera and Coco Carrasquilla. And they could be on the field at the same time. Coco has not started yet. Is that a game you're interested in, Dynamo fan? I'm interested in it, and I'll tell you why. I want to see what type of level of fitness Hector Herrera's at. And I want to see Coco in his normal role with Unam Pumas, which leads us to the Dynamo DP. And the Dynamo and fans are looking at Osman Bukhari last year, $7 million Austin FC paid for him. Mirto Azuni, $12 million transfer fee. Brandon Vazquez, $10 million. Obviously, San Diego's got a clean palate. They can do all kinds of things to build their team. Atlanta's going big. They're bringing back Miguel Almiron. I love that story. Goes over to Newcastle. Transfer back to Major League Soccer. They're paying $12 million to bring Miguel Almiron back. That's a fee that's debatable, but it's somewhere around that. He's 30 years old now. He's returning in kind of a way, you know, a player coming home to a club that he had great moments with. And they're going to expect him to be amongst the best in Major League Soccer. And you're getting a winger type with him, but he had 6 years at Newcastle. Pretty amazing. So I think New York City FC transfers an 18-year-old kid, Christian McFarlane, to Manchester City. They retain a part of the sell-on percentage. He's only 18 years old. Thing I like about this is a lot of times MLS teams will parlay a kid that they grabbed later in his career and he was ours, and they will fail to give credit to the other youth clubs that had a piece in developing them as a player. This kid started apparently at New York City FC, for what I understand, at 11 years of age. That's a success story, and we're hoping to get more of that through the Dynamo, because the Dynamo have a number of young players coming through Dynamo 2, but these are, you know, these are guys that were, for the most part, Exxon Arzu, Obafemi Awadesu. He's a college draft choice from the Dynamo. That's good. He came out of Penn State. Sebastian Rodriguez. These guys are all going to get opportunity potentially here with the Dynamo not having made a lot of signings. There's opportunity right now. Also, I had put out that there was no legs to Mohamed Aboufani, who plays for Ferencváros in Hungary. Now, there is apparently some renewed interest in him. Now, I don't know if this chronologically comes a little bit later, but my sources say there is interest from the Dynamo. They are very far away in, you know, in numbers, I think, but there is interest in him. This is a guy that's played for Israel. In Hungary, he played 38 times with 5 goals, built low to the ground, powerful, good technique. So I don't know. He could fit that role that we were talking about when it comes to a DP in the Coco Carrasquilla role. Now, you're looking for a better player than Coco in that role. Stay with me. Don't say, Glenn, how dare you say that about Coco? No, no, no. Coco was in a position where he sacrificed for the team because there were two other midfielders that weren't going to be moved for the most part in Artur and Hector Herrera. Coco was in a very different position, and it was weird because I don't think he was as good measuring passes from a higher position on the field than when he's more withdrawn and when he plays a little bit deeper, like he does with the Panama national team. That's how he became the number one player in CONCACAF, right? Dynamo got $3.5 million for his sale to UNAM Pumas. So stay with me on that one. You have to find a better player than Coco in that position. I'm not talking about effort. I'm not talking about hairstyle. I'm not talking about, we all know Coco Carrasquilla is a wonderful soccer player. But they need a player in that position whose skill set will include, to me, if you can get this, probably can't get it all, which will include being a guy that can beat people off the dribble, being a guy that's going to help make Ezequiel Ponce and others around him shine, being a guy that in transition might go beyond Ponce and get a flick on and get in behind a defense, might be a guy that can play tight in combination, might be a guy that can uplift your transition game. These are a lot of things you want. You may not get them all, but this has got to be a player that becomes amongst Amin Bassi, Sebastian Kowalczyk, Brooklyn Reigns, and Artur, clearly your best attacking player in that role. And it has to be pretty definitive. Really does. So there we are. All right, we're up on a hard break. Coming up next, we'll talk more about that with the Dynamo head coach, Ben Olsen. Looking forward to having Ben on here tonight. Dynamo, we're shoveling snow to get their training in. We're having fun in the snow the 2 days we had. I got to tell you, my neighborhood was fun. Everybody was out. Kids were playing. Snowmen were going up. Dogs are jumping around in snow. people were in a good mood, saying hello to each other. Probably maybe they didn't have to go to work. Is it like that in your neighborhood, Brian?
Yeah, people were out that you didn't normally see out, and because it's so rare, it only happens every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think Houston did a great job of staying home, staying off the streets, letting it melt, because we don't have the equipment for snow. By the way, I was a snow shoveler extraordinaire when I was a kid. Not only my driveway, I would also get some pocket change from the neighbors, me and my buddies. All right, we're going to take a break here. As always, a big shout out to Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. Jan Christensen just celebrated a birthday. DanishInspirations.com for the best in modern contemporary furniture. I got a bunch in my house. Taking a break, Ben Olson, Houston Dynamo head coach, next.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Final segment of the night tonight. We remind you, Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, three locations, Montrose, up in the Woodlands, the newest location, and Beltway 8 and I-10 for the best in Greek food. Joining us now, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, he is Ben Olson. Ben, thanks for coming on the show to kick it off here in 2025.
Great to see you.
Yeah, nice seeing you and nice hearing your voice. Shorter or long off season for you?
It was long. It was long, but it went fast. Does that make sense? It was long enough to recharge. I think that's a really important thing, whether it's a couple of weeks, whether, you know, the previous year where we didn't have a lot of time, or last year where we had a little bit more. It's just important to recharge. And I think both mentally, physically for the players, mentally for the staff, and long enough to get inspired and make sure the energy's high, because it's a long season. And again, I got away with the family. I explored Texas. I got down to see Big Ben, Marfa, and we spent 50 hours in the car together as a family. So I got plenty of family time, and it was a really good trip and a really wild state, man. A wild state you got here, and it was a lot of fun exploring it.
Gets awful quiet out there, doesn't it? It's pretty amazing.
It's oil country and windmills. It's a neat state.
Beautiful. All right. So let's get into some stuff here. First off, how about the health of Quiñones and Lawrence Anali? Where are they?
They're both moving in the right direction. The Quiñones from the initial injury, it's been stalled at certain periods. It hasn't been the easiest recovery for him, but we feel he's on the other end of that. He's in trainings right now, but kind of with that quarterback bib where nobody can hit him. And that's a great sign. You know, when I've been through rehab enough, when you're back on that field, even though you're not full in, it's just a much more exciting time. And I think he's in a good place to help us maybe a month from now, give or see how this goes. Anali's on target. His rehab is going very well. But his injury was later than Quiñones's, so we just have to wait. That you have to give it the time to heal. You have to give it the time to get strong. So we anticipate him being a very good summer signing again. So we're just going to redo that.
Ben Olson joining us, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. They're heading to Tampa, Florida. They'll get some MLS competition. Back to Nelson and Lawrence. Are they a big part of maybe the solution for your attack now, based on the fact that Coco and Hector Herrera?
No, I think that's simplifying it. I think Yes, of course, profiles will change how you score goals. But really, we've spent a lot of time over even the last couple months of the year really dissecting how to score goals or put ourselves in better positions to finish out attacks. We spent a lot of time in the offseason, and we've spent a good portion of the 2.5 weeks already on finishing out of attacks. So, yes, of course, there's individual brilliance, there's service, there's the right weight, there's all these things we talked about last year that let us down. But then there's also systematic ways to put ourselves in positions where we make our own luck, where it just comes a numbers game, where we have more box occupation, and that leads to scoring goals, and then that leads to confidence, and it can spiral in that type of direction. So we're addressing it both on the field. We're also addressing it with some of the profiles that we're going to bring in. And I know you'll ask me that soon enough about what's coming. Those guys have to be providers. They have to be able to finish out attacks for us. Because if we are if we're able to continue with being a good defensive team, a team that is cohesive and can still be one of the better teams defensively in this league, and we can continue to have the ball and put ourselves in the attacking third as much as we did last year, there's one piece that's missing to make us a very good team. But we have to do that in a collective way. We have to coach them up. And we need better profiles in there.
Ben, back to the box occupation. Through my lens, it seems, and I could be wrong, Ezequiel Ponce plays a lot of the game with his back to goal. How do you get him facing the game a little bit more and facing the goal?
He's got to stay patient, I think, at times. But some of that is this frustration of not putting him in situations where he can have joy when he's running at the goal. And that means when we do get wide, we're in better situations for 3v2s or 2v1s to get ourselves in crossing opportunities for him to have easier goals than he had last year. But he has to fight some of that and make sure that he's at times more patient and not coming into the midfield when we don't necessarily need him. We have the right numbers in there. He was only here for a few months. And he scored a goal every other game. I think his integration into the team, it was pretty quick for a foreign player coming into a league. I was really happy with his performance. And defensively, he, as I talked about with Ponce, I still think he's one of the best pressing forwards in the league. And it's our job collectively, because we know he can score, to make sure he's scoring every other game.
Ben Olsen, Houston Dynamo head coach, joining us here. We start the season with a big bang. You got FC Dallas coming in with former Houston area product Eric Quill coaching that team. And then it's the big one everybody's buzzing about. It's Lionel Messi and Inter Miami in game number two. Just back to that signing, and we've had Pat on the show, and obviously this is going to be a big signing. Do you sense there's a pressure to make a big signing? Is it got to be a guy that essentially we look at and say is your best attacking player? And then the third part of this three-part question is, do you have to get that done before April 1st?
I know your second and third question. What was the first question?
The first one is this a guy that has to lift the entire team next level?
Yes. Anytime you're looking for a 10, anytime you're looking for an attacking piece who is going to be a designated player, yeah, he has to be one of your best attacking pieces on the team. He's got to have goals. He's got to have assists in him. It's a must. So is there pressure along with that? Of course. This is no different than last year when everybody was saying, you don't have a forward, you don't have a forward, you don't have a forward, right? That was the narrative last year, and we got a forward, and he helped us. So this is every year. You're going to lose players. You need to replace them. You need to make sure your scouting department were proactive and were ready for Coco to leave. We understood Hector was potentially going to leave. So, and then even when you do all that right, you still go down a lane with someone you like and it doesn't work out, whether it's the finances, whether he doesn't want to come, whether his wife doesn't want to come. There are so many scenarios in again, it's not a perfect science. It always just doesn't work out. And sometimes when you can't overspend and go, you know, just keep throwing money at it to get these players, you know, sometimes it's about threading the needle. So we got to be patient, and we understand what we need very clearly. You know, we've talked about it. I'm sure Pat's talked about it as well. You know, Coco's gone. We need a replacement in there. Hector's gone. We need a replacement. Those are two damn good players. And those players may not look and play just like Hector and Coco. They're very unique players. And some of them, we may lose a little bit with those signings, and we may gain in some other areas that maybe Hector and Coco don't possess. So that's what we constantly are talking about. What are the attributes? What's the profile of those players to now continue with all the good that they brought us? But also, can we now get a little bit more in the attacking third? Maybe it's more running off the ball. Maybe it's more box occupation. Maybe it's more service. Maybe it's set piece ability. So all these things come into play when we're talking about filling these voids. And those aren't the only two that we're trying to place. We're still adding depth in a few different areas. So I anticipate 3 to 6 signings coming, you know. And then to your last question, I think, is when and what's the urgency? The urgency is yesterday, every day. It's now as quick as we can get these players in, the better. But as we always say, right, it has to be the right ones. And at times when you do need players, you can make mistakes and you can push the gas and maybe get someone that's not perfect for you. And then sometimes you have to do that, or sometimes you have to wait for the guy that you want. The winter transfer market is tricky. And I know you know that.
Ben Olsen, Houston Dynamo head coach. So back to that positional thing and the type of player that could be brought in. Let's say it's a player that was in Coco's position that might be more natural to it. It could be a big upgrade. What type of player do you want there? Do you want a guy that's going to beat somebody off the dribble? What are some of the characteristics that you're looking for in that Coco higher position?
Well, I think a player that can join the box from those positions and give us more threat, more of a vertical threat in behind, service. You know, being a guy that can provide, whether it's slipping balls into Ponce, whether it's from the edge, some service to the back stick with some real fire. Does he have set piece ability? You know, can he enhance us in our service both on corner kicks, but also in and around the box? Is this a player that can get 3 to 4 goals or in and around the 18 when Kowalczyk and Bossy are getting fouled in these areas? So, There's a lot to it, but he also has to be comfortable in a pocket, and you know we're still play with kind of that 3-box midfield, and you know he's also got to be able to be on the half turn and drive and add plus ones, and complement kind of Griffin on that side. So we're looking at a lot of it, and you're not going to check all those boxes, Clint. Right? I want 10 different things out of that guy, but. You know, I need $30 million to get that guy, right? You know, when you go down into where you're spending, you're only going to check so many of those boxes. Some of those are imperative. Some of those we have to check. And then, again, there's some that we will give to get the other thing because you don't get it all.
Andrew Tarbell, number one, it's been made pretty clear. Does that change your build out of the back a little bit differently? Do you become a little more direct or –
At times, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. You know, his range of passing is, you know, it's to boil it down, he can kick farther than Steve. But guess what Steve can do? Steve is better with his feet in tighter spaces, right? You know, again,
you might lose him to the NFL if you keep talking like
that. That's right. So that part, yes, we now have a forward that is a real presence and can deal with some more vertical 60-yard balls and make a meal of it, make it tough on those defenders. And we have guys that are willing to pick up seconds. We have guys that are willing to run off. Again, that's not a knock for Steve. Steve helped our possession. He was unbelievable. Steve was unbelievable for us for 2 years. But yes, profiles that now are starting that are a little bit different. Yes, we as coaches have to understand that, and we can't change him into something that he's not. So, of course, we're still going to want to play. We're still going to ask Andrew to build out of the back, but we're not going to ask him to do some of the things that Steve did. It just doesn't make sense. We want Andrew to succeed, so we're going to set him up for success, but we also want to challenge him to still let us build in a way that is similar to last year.
And I would assume that means discussing with the likes of Eric Svechenko, Mikhail, your outside backs. Hey, you guys have to play a little bit differently with Andrew Tarbell.
I think you're making maybe a little bit
okay
more of the differences between the two. I don't think we'll ask that much more of or less of the structure around Andrew when he receives the ball or what we do in goal kicks. Other than that, some of the improv nature that Steve had, you know, we'll try to, I think, make it a little cleaner. And that was one of Steve's strengths. He could really smell these plus one numbers in there, and he's super calm on the ball. And Andrew, you know, again, we got to make it very clean on him, but we did that last year. And the one thing Steve had was, you know, experience and feel of playing out of the back, and he was a little riskier.
Last one, and we're going to let you go, Ben, and we'll make this one quick. Exxon Arzu, Ofemi Owodesu, Sebastian Rodriguez, first team contracts, obviously Brooklyn Reigns. I get the sense you're expecting something out of this young crop this year.
Well, the one positive of not bringing in signings right now is we're getting real looks at these guys. You know, Brooklyn's right now in the starting spot, and Exxon, you know, Ibrahim went to deal with some citizenship things, and so now Exxon's in with that starting group with trainings, and Femi's getting some reps with the first team, so they're filling this void right now, and it's a great opportunity for them and us as a staff to see what they look like. And that'll be continue into Florida, where they're going to see real minutes against first team opponent or, you know, MLS opponents. And we're going to get a good feel for where, how they're progressing and what they need from us to make them better. You know, I've been clear about Brooklyn and make, you know, he's took a step up there in the last couple months that I haven't seen since we've been here. And we anticipate him playing a big role in this year's team. And we look forward to seeing him grow. You know, sometimes it's impatient with young kids. It shows itself when they're ready, they're ready. And you can speed it up as much as possible, but sometimes it's about doing that. And not rushing it. And when the player's ready, that's the time. And we feel like he's right on that cusp of fighting for a spot in the starting lineup each week now.
Ben, listen, thank you very much. Safe travels down to Tampa as you guys continue your preseason. And thank you for coming on. First time here in 2025. We love it.
Great seeing you.
All right, that's Ben Olsen, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Wraps it up here tonight. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, presenting sponsors here of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Brian McDonald, all of you who tuned in. Don't forget, we go again tomorrow. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.